This call is being recorded.
Good evening, my friends. Welcome to the call. I spoke with Father, Jesus, and HS. They all give you their love, and I give you my peace. We switched over to a new phone carrier, so let me know if I still cut out at any time. Please interrupt me, because I don't want you guys to miss out on anything. Let's start with prayer. Father, we come before you, and we say thank you first for all that you've provided for us through this past week and even in this day. We celebrated Palm Sunday today with our big brother, and we are thankful for all the love, the grace, and the sacrifice that he has provided for us. And it is because of him that we are able to find you on a whole new level, to even come home at some point when the time is right. See the hearts of those who have gathered here. We remove anything, Father, that is evil in anyone's space or near them that would be tormenting them during this time. It is all cast out and destroyed in your name. And we also pray, Father, that you will provide extra strength for everyone to hold and carry whatever it is that concerns them, and that we now lift it from them and we put it in your hand, that you will provide what is needful and necessary for everybody on the team and their family members. Provide your peace now. We connect ourselves with you, Jesus, and HS, and we look forward to a wonderful meeting, Father, where we will hear your message and then discuss a number of different topics. We pray, Father, for your grace now to cover us, tie our hearts together, and according to what we ask, and in your name we pray. We love you, Father. Thank you. Amen. I spoke to Father this week, and this is what he had to say. Father said, "In the beginning, I created man. Just kidding. I thought I would open the meeting with a little humor. My dear children, I am excited about our future together. I know that many things seem to be changing with the church. Many of you are concerned about losing the foundations of our faith. Please let me assure you that I will not allow that to happen. Perhaps I will allow the leaders to think that they are really in charge and I am just not paying attention. I will tell you that HS is not the spirit who is influencing them, but I have told you that in the past. The leaders in the U.S. want to align the church with the big mainstream churches. Apparently, they have not realized that this is not going to work in the New Apostolic Church. The main reason is that I do not care what man thinks. I will allow only a few things to change, and when they fail, I will inspire them to change back to the way we practice our faith. No, not go back to the past and live old school, as you kids say. I am talking about true fellowship, visiting, and serving from the altar with the confidence and assurance that the Holy Spirit is actually speaking through the heart of the well-prepared minister, not a man who is holding a seminar on how to feel good about your faith. Let me put your hearts at ease. I will continue with the service for the departed. I will not allow them to stop that. Who would take care of eternity then? My son and I reminisced about the time I spoke to him years ago about defending the apostles' doctrine, not only from the world, but from some of the current apostles who think they can change it. Jesus was very specific when he laid down this path. There are no exceptions, unless I decide on a soul-to-soul basis, and that is my prerogative. The changes that have taken place in the past are not working. Eliminating the midweek service in the U.S. was a tragedy. The disc apostle does not want to admit that this has failed. Why does faith continue to grow in other countries? Do you think it might be because they are getting fed more? Yes, of course. That is one of the reasons. I am disappointed with many of the changes that have taken place. There is a complete lack of soul care. So few, many family visits are even made. Brothers' meetings are too much of an inconvenience for everybody. Is the bride of Christ going to be made up of lazy, self-centered souls? It is not. I should take on flesh and come down to earth and shake these leaders so hard that I might shake some sense into them. I would rather they listen to what HS is trying to tell them. All of this falls under the clause of free will, which I cannot interfere with. For now, I need all of you to control your emotions when you hear something odd or strange. Just as Trilin said, he threw this out to you to prepare you. I too have been preparing you for all that will come. You will be ready. Always take heart and know that I am watching closely. I am the one who will allow or not permit something as it may serve as a test. I love all of you very much. Be strong and stay focused on your tasks. Does anybody have any comments? Questions?
Concerns? Where did this thing come from where there's no service for the departed other than Jerry?
That's exactly from him. It came from him. And okay. I wanted to just throw it out there, as Father said, because I wanted everybody to know that in the future, we're going to hear a whole lot of crazy. And we're going to hear a...
Hello?
I didn't want source. And I know that Jerry is a little frustrated with many things. He's been reaching out to me. I'll just tell you this. He still believes that he is Blazar, even though he does not stand in any power and authority. He does not. But I know that he still would like to be on the team. So I would ask that you would please pray for him and his family. He contacted me to let me know that his niece tried to commit suicide this week, and it has not been good for the family. We have sent help to help her. But again, this is a choice that somebody makes on their own, regardless of being influenced or not. And once we remove that influence, then they need to change. So I would ask you to pray for the family. So thank you. Does anybody else have any other question?
You went silent for a short time. Did we miss anything?
Did you? No. I don't think so. I don't know. What didn't you hear?
We don't know.
We don't
exactly.
know what we don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I'm watching my own voice move on the website, so I know if I'm not coming through mostly. But if
there
I
was
cut out again, you guys, go ahead.
When you started talking about where that came from, when Trisus asked you the question, right after that, you went out for a little while,
okay.
And then you came back about 30 seconds. Later.
Okay. It came from Jerry. He told me that he had a conversation with Orlovsky, because Orlovsky was in his congregation that previous Sunday when we chatted on the Monday. And he said that these are the plans that are coming down the pipeline within the next 5 years. I have not heard anything. Father said to me, I will not allow that, as you heard in the notes today from his word to us. He will not allow that to happen. So I threw it out there because, again, I wanted you guys to know that there's going to be a lot of crazy that's going to be said over the next few years, and we need to just take it with a grain of salt. Let people say what they want. Let people believe what they want, and we will stay true to Father and what he tells us. Or if one of the leaders of the church actually makes the announcement, a formal one, or discusses it on that kind of a level, then we'll concern ourselves with those things. But in the time being, it holds no validity. Father's not going to let it happen. Any other questions?
In that vein, I do have a quick question. How concerned
sure.
are you about previous teammates trying to undermine certain things or maybe start feeling a little bit more bold than they were in the past and saying things they shouldn't be?
I can tell you that I have had that happen to me so many times in the past. And when they spout off and discuss things with the leaders, not one of the leaders has ever come to have a conversation with me. So until that actually happens, I'm not going to concern myself. Plus, I will just say this. Jerry made the point that they're going to try and systematically dismantle the team and then come after me. And I sat in that moment and I actually laughed to myself because I thought, you think as a man that you can interfere with something that our Father has put together, then you will be enlightened in a way that you didn't know was possible. We never have anything to fear. Okay? Ever. They can't force us out of anything. They can't take anything away from us. And the biggest thing I said to Jerry in a text back to him was, well, I don't understand why they would do that because none of us are doing anything. Right? We're not standing up in the congregation, proclaiming anything. We're not drawing any attention to ourselves. We're not speaking crazy talk. You're not saying Jim thinks he's in charge and he's going to take over the church and blah, blah. We're not doing anything because we're doing what Father told us to do, and that is to remain silent, but to serve and give energy healings, to counsel, to do visits and things like that on a guardian level. And they know nothing of what we do. So I've been going through this for 17 years, so I understand what crazy talk is. But you guys are now going to start getting acclimated into it. And again, because Jerry, I think, is a little hurt by the whole thing that took place, he's now taking things that might be said to him on a level and blowing them up. I don't know. But like I said, until a leader of this church actually comes to me and has a conversation with me, I'm not going to concern myself. And even after they have that conversation with me, I'm still not going to concern myself because Father's the one who's in charge, as he said in his message to us. But that's a great question. Thank you for bringing it up. Does anybody else have any other question or concern?
In tying in with that, our text word today, and the priests and the lot were indignant. it was what was interesting is that Brian and our cousin in Schaumburg held service, and he looked up the word indignant, and indignant is not just what we would think like insulted, but insulted because they're hurt is what indignant is. And it was interesting how back in that time when Jesus went into the temple and started and the children were praising him, they were indignant because they were hurt. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's ego. It's going to be man's ego. And obviously we could talk about this for hours, but I thought how apropos where again, you're not proclaiming anything, but the words and the testimony that we've heard from those that don't understand your work and our work and what the guardians are supposed to do are going to be hurt. They're going to be indignant, you know, and we're going to have to deal with that, where we're going to have to deal with hurt feelings more than a power grab. It's going to be just wah. On the nicest level, right? I mean, obviously no one wants someone coming into their house and doing something, but that's what was brought out. The Holy Spirit brought out, at least in Schaumburg, where these men were hurt because of what they weren't able to do or what Jesus was shown to do. And then it was brought out that the next day he came in and turned over the tables and basically threw all the money changers out. I mean, I can't even imagine, there's no scripture about what the scribes and the Pharisees thought about that, but
right.
You know, it was interesting. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of parallelism between what happened 2,000 years ago and what, you know, is happening now. But I thought that was very interesting.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Anyone else? Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, now again.
Hello. You know, try to put all the pieces together back on service for the departed quick. I think it's interesting in talking about how we'll be exposed to, you know, people, crazy talk type thing, and people just talking out of emotion.
Yeah.
In the video that Chief Apostle had about the change in ministry, I think, you know, Father allowed Jerry to say what he did, and the timing's perfect because the Chief Apostle at the end of that video said at the next District Apostles meeting, they're going to be talking about two things. One was discussion about having female ministers or not, and there was another topic, I can't remember what it was, but I think if they were discussing about getting rid of service for the departed, I have a feeling that the Chief Boss would have mentioned something like that, or the future of the service for the departed, seeing as it's one of the things that we stand out so hugely being the new apostolic church.
Correct.
And the fact that it didn't say anything about that whatsoever kind of shows how much meaning that has or how much validity that has.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else? Now that Aquos brought that up, I wanted to ask if anybody has any questions about the video that the Chief Apostle presented to us. Any concerns, questions?
Didn't you guys in the States already start doing that in certain areas of the country?
We started doing it, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, where we eliminated all the ministries between the priest office, and there's only a handful of evangelists, actually, and they're mostly here in this Michigan area that I know of, but everyone else is a priest. And then we have one district elder in Chicago still, and we have district elders here in Michigan, but I don't know what has happened across the states as far as anybody else in their ministries, but I know that we switched and did pretty much what the Chief Apostle spoke about. And we were
and
told
how Florida they got.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Tracy.
How did you guys how did the states receive it? What do you guys think of it?
At the time, they told us that they were doing it to eliminate all of the layers between the apostles' ministry because, basically, as the chief said, these are all priestly ministries, and then you can just have the authority or whatever the responsibilities are defined to that priest at the time. So for us, I don't think this is a big deal. I don't think it was back then. For me, it wasn't. I can't speak for everybody, but Tricis, what did you want to say?
Yeah, in Florida here, they had a shepherd and they had two district elders and several evangelists and all, but they retired, didn't replace them. Obviously, we have a new apostle, which we all found or heard from the last service down here, but they have one district elder for Florida North or West, as they call it, and then one district elder for Florida South. But I think there's only one other evangelist, and he's ready to retire, but they're not replacing him. It's all going to be just priests down here. But no one really cared down here. I mean, it wasn't – I'm not that close like I was up in Chicago, but I haven't heard anybody even in the discussions like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? But, again, that's just Florida. I know that Apostle Heck was retiring all the brothers that were in those other ministries and not replacing them in his district for, you know, the deep South as our last said. So, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Atlanta, that whole area. So I think it's already beginning or it already was a plan, at least from our district apostles' point of view.
I think it's fantastic because, you know, when I was on leave, I was exposed. Oh, I mean, when I was in ministry too, I saw all the politics that came out of so many layers of ministers. And when I was on leave, I saw it even more from a different perspective. And, you know, politics in the natural world is something that corrupts the world in certain ways, giving different messages, what people want to hear. And I think, you know, as you move forward to, you know, the end times, I think it's fantastic to take away politics, try and take away layers of politics within the church as well. And I think it was interesting the way the Chief Apostle said that, you know, we're going to keep the ministers that carry a ministry other than a priest or a bishop, an apostle, like the district elders, evangelists, and shepherds, we're going to keep them. They're not going to be have them taken away because of tradition. And I thought that today's service about, you know, how the struggle with traditions and how things should be, it was very timed very, very well, because it's sad, but for those who think about it, it should be an eye opener, because we shouldn't be holding on to unneeded traditions. And I mean, I wish Canada would go the same way as the States and just move those, get rid of those layers right off the bat, because it's just being held on for tradition, and it's something that is unnecessary, and it puts such a gap between the brothers, the ministers, and the members, and it pushes out love, brings in entitlement too much. And that's all I'll say for that.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I need to clarify something. I have told you in the past that Adam and Eve were probably in the garden for millions of years. And a couple weeks ago, Father and I were in a meeting. We were talking, and he said, let's clarify that for everybody. He said, Adam was actually in the garden for 100,000 years. And Eve was there for a third of that time. Still blows our minds. You know, it's, I sat there in that moment and said, that's still like a million years to us, but okay, I'll share that with the team. So I wanted to clarify that. We are in the Passion Week. So I thought we could discuss Easter. So what is Easter? We all know it's the day that Jesus came out of his cave, saw the Easter bunny, and now we have the 12 days of Christmas, right? Any questions? No, that's not what Easter is, right? Some sisters in our home congregation in Holland actually put together the events of Holy Week, and I thought I would share them with you. And then what I'll do is I will scan this sheet, and it's got all the biblical references that have to do with this entire timeline, which is pretty fascinating when you think about it. So Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th, basically, is what these things took place all those years ago. Jesus arrives in Bethany, and Mary anoints Jesus with the expensive oils. And then the crowd comes to see Jesus. April 14th, there's a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Some Greeks actually seek Jesus out. It is also in this time frame that Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He enters the temple, and then he returns to Bethany. On Monday, April 15th, Jesus curses the fig tree, and he clears the temple. And then he returns to Bethany with the 12. On Tuesday, the disciples see the withered fig tree on the return to Jerusalem. Temple controversies in Jerusalem take place. There's all these biblical references. And then there's the Olivet Discourse that takes place on the return to Bethany. And then on Wednesday, Jesus continues his daily teachings in the temple. The Sanhedrin plot to kill Jesus. On Wednesday, the preparations for the Passover take place. On Thursday, the Passover meal and the Last Supper take place. And then in the upper room, there's the little discourse as they're having their final meal as Jesus explains things to them. And then Jesus prays in Gethsemane. On Friday, he is betrayed and arrested. He is sent to Annas for the Jewish trial to take place. Then Jesus has the trial before Phaeus as part of the Sanhedrin. And then Jesus' trial is before the full Sanhedrin. And then the Roman trial takes place before Pilate. Pilate shoots him over to Herod. Herod shoots him back to Pilate. And then the crucifixion takes place, they approximate between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And then he is buried. And then Sunday in the morning, he empties the tomb and it's witnessed, and he resurrects. So I will scan this and send it to you, and you guys can look through all the biblical passages that are there if you're interested. But I thought that we should go over that. And then Trisus thought that I gave Atmos the month off from religions because he's up to his eyeballs with the kids. So I asked Trisus volunteered to talk about the Russian Orthodox Easter. So he's going to hit some highlights for us. So Trisus.
Yeah, I looked at this, and what's interesting is that the Russian Orthodox and Greek Easter and Eastern Orthodox are all similar. Now, don't ever accuse that of either one. Don't say that to a Russian or a Greek. They both feel that they have exclusivity on the Orthodox Easter. But even when you look at their religions, they're almost identical. They follow the Catholic traditions of the icons and the chanting and the prayers. The Orthodox religions decided to stay on the Julian calendar, and that it can be explained at length at some other time. But basically, the difference between the Julian calendar, which was created by Julius Caesar, and the Gregorian calendar, which we follow, is about 10 minutes per year. If you add all that up, including the moon phases, it basically makes their Easter anywhere from a week to 4 weeks after ours, which is interesting because I've often wondered about that. But that's why Greek Easter, Orthodox Easter, Russian Easter are later. The Easter in those congregations or religions are some guy called Pascha or Resurrection Sunday. It's based on the Paschal Lamb, which we understand as Jesus. I tried to go into the Orthodox liturgy, and their normal Sunday Mass is like 50 parts. It's astounding. It could like be 2 or 3 hours. I had a very close friend at work who was Russian, Russian Orthodox, and she said that their services are all sung, which I did not know. Jim and I had experience with Priest Mott, Eric Mott's father, when we went into that one church, and which was unheard of because normally outsiders or non-believers are not allowed in. But she shared quite a bit, and she said, if you're not handicapped, you'd stand during the service. And I went, wow, that's a bummer. But she said, services are normally an hour. For Easter, they do have a special service. I'll post have Fred upload some details on it. I'm going to add a little bit. But basically, the reason why that they have Mass on Saturdays is that they considered the observation of services at the sunset prior to the Sabbath. So that's why Catholics have their services on Saturdays, not Sundays. But in some churches, they could go all night with their services, and they call it Holy Saturday. It could be as little as 4 parts, or maybe it's an hour, or it could be the 50-part service or the matin, and it could be all inclusive of every tradition that they have. It's amazing how detailed it is. And I wanted to share with the Russian side, they consider the icons as physical works of their observance of their faith. So if we said a prayer, we believe that goes to Father. They believe that the artwork of the icon is actually the physical manifestation of their belief or liturgy. So their icons are very holy, which was amazing. I wanted to touch briefly. We all talk about Easter and eggs, and we have joked about the bunny, but in their religion, eggs, red dyed eggs, are used and celebrated even in some services. I know that Trilin and I experienced on our father's side of the family, the Catholic tradition of cracking 2 Easter eggs head to head. And that's done around the table. And then the last person remaining with the strongest egg gets the good luck for the year. So that's part of the Catholic or even the Orthodox Easter. Of course, there's tons of things about the food. The Greeks have the lamb. In Lebanon, it's turkey or chicken. Bulgaria is painted eggs that are cracked or smashed vigorously to wish a new year. Of course, we all understand lamb. We all like lamb. It's interesting that we eat the icon that we are celebrating, again, like turkey. But it's very interesting that the Orthodox religion they consider themselves so different that if you talk to either a Greek or Orthodox or a Russian Orthodox member, it's almost like they have a different religion, and they hold it very true, which is wonderful. Obviously, we held ourselves off as New Apostolic Christians as something different. But when I looked up the references, it's just as deep. So I wanted to share that with you. So it was interesting. But I'll post. There's a couple of pages that we can have Fred post that have more details if you folks want to learn more about it. Thank you. Am I still there?
Yep. Thank you very much. Sorry, I was texting somebody to ask something. Thank you very much. That was informative and interesting. I'm going to ask Starlight to give you all an update because some of you email me all the time asking how she is, so now you can get it out of her mouth. So, Starlight.
I am doing good. So this past week, I found out that my infusions were approved, or maybe it was a week and a half ago. I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. And I had to get some blood work done just to make sure, you know, I didn't have hepatitis B, because with these particular infusions, if I have hepatitis B, I could destroy my liver, which, yay, I don't. So they decided to go ahead and schedule my first infusion, which will be this Friday, and then May 3rd will be my second infusion, because the first round of it is, they only give you half doses and they're 2 weeks apart. And then after the May 3rd infusion, then it'll be every 6 months after that. And it typically takes, they said for the first two, it takes about 5 hours. And then for the remaining after that will be about 6 hours. And that just depends on, that's like the average speed. If I have any types of allergic reactions or anything, they may have to slow it down. But on average, it'll be around 5 hours. So I'm working on I'm done with occupational therapy and physical therapy, and I'm pretty much back, I would say probably 90% to 95% of where I was before all this happened. I have a little bit of issues still with my eye, but I'm doing regular exercises with that. And then I have random times where my muscles are weak or if I have pain, but you know what, who's not in pain? So overall, I'm doing very well. And I had my follow-up with my neurologist the other day, and it was this kind of a comical part of it, because we were talking about, you know, when I need to contact him if I'm having certain symptoms and whatnot. And in the middle of his sentence, he stopped here. We were probably talking, I don't know, for 5 or 10 minutes. And he says, "Hold on a second. I just want to apologize, because I completely forgot that you had a walker the first time you came in here." And he says, "And I watched you walk in today." He said, "And you're walking very well." So we just sort of laughed about it. But yeah, he was shocked that I didn't have a walker. I didn't have a cane, none of that. I have a cane just in, you know, for my bad days. But for the most part, I'm doing very well. I'm very blessed. And thank you, everyone, for your prayers.
Thank you. Second. Fred and Kathy, Fred sent me a text about Greek Orthodox and all that, so I asked him to share what he sent me. So, Fred, take it away, or Kathy.
I'll have Kathy do it, since she lived through it.
Okay.
Well, having lived in a Greek Orthodox family, the bread of the Greek Orthodox, the Greek Easter bread was made up of a braid. And the braid stands for the Holy Trinity. And the red Easter egg on the red egg on top is the blood that Jesus spilled. Pretty much it.
All right.
Interesting. And where is the bread? We need to sample this. I don't have mine.
Oh, well, I just got one yesterday at the Greek Orthodox Church, so I can send you one, John.
All right.
Well, now you got to send it to everybody, Kathy. So, yeah. No, that's not necessary.
Is it good for French toast?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. It's very eggy. It's kind of like, it's not a regular bread. It's got a lot of eggs in it and stuff like that. And then they brush egg yolk on the top to make it like that real shiny look. And then they'll put slivered sliced almonds on the top, too. So, yeah, it's been in my family. I've been that way for 65 years, so I've known it for a long time.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, Q.
Yes.
Are you ready? Did you research that information you and I spoke about this week? I didn't remember asking you yesterday.
Oh, you did, and I don't know what you're talking about.
1,000 years apiece.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want me just to kind of go through it?
Sure. Yeah, I was trying to avoid throwing you under the bus, but here I am throwing you under the bus. Go ahead.
Where's my, I, we,
speaker and I put you on a tabletop and it just fell off. Okay, so we had an interesting small group discussion in that we were talking about, well, we've mentioned this many times, that there are three opportunities for souls to be in heaven forever with our Heavenly Father. And those opportunities are to be the bride of Christ. The next opportunity is to be a martyr during the 3.5 years of the time that they're on earth. Third opportunity is after the last judgment, when Jesus judges someone worthy or not. And so what's really nice is that Father shows his love in that he wants all men to be saved. But what's interesting is that so many times in our faith, there's a lack of understanding with what it means to be chosen. You know, that word is thrown out there, and we are chosen to be the bride. And it's up to us whether or not we conform and become the bride, so that when the Lord Jesus comes, then we go with him and work with him during the 1,000-year kingdom of peace. Well, it's amazing that in our small group discussion, there's someone that was Catholic before, and she would always talk about the Catholic Church and how it's the same, and they believe in their faith really strongly, and we believe in ours, and it's the same thing anyway. And so it was interesting that even some of the older or more seasoned New Apostolics would even say, well, you know, why is it that we're chosen and someone else isn't chosen? And they weren't quite putting the pieces together that we are chosen to be the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ has a specific job to do. And that job is to work with Jesus and minister and work to introduce the gospel and Father's plan to everyone who's ever lived and will live during that 1,000-year kingdom of peace. After that point, then the bride of Christ title isn't needed. We're not going to be considered the bride of Christ. We're going to be judged worthy, obviously, but after that point, our job is done with that specific task. And so many times people think, well, I want to be the bride of Christ because that's who I'm going to be for all eternity and that we have a special place. Well, when someone has the opportunity to live in glory with God forever in heaven, then everyone receives the same thing. It's glory. And so it was interesting that there was some misunderstanding. And talking with Tryland and Starlight and Cindy about that, and it's interesting that we don't necessarily think of it in just that way, but we need to. And we need to be more open in that we've been chosen for the opportunity to be the bride. Absolutely. Someone else hasn't necessarily been chosen to be the bride of Christ. In the New Apostolic Church, we are given the prerequisites to become the bride of Christ. And that's the way the Lord Jesus established it. Now, so many times, not so many, but every once in a while, a minister will say, well, we know that we want to be the bride of Christ, but if our Heavenly Father wants to choose someone else to be the bride of Christ, then he can do whatever he wants. And every time that's said, I'm thinking to myself, but why even say anything like that? I mean, we can, we have to just be careful. And I threw this out when I was in the conversation with here yesterday at our house. We could say, well, if our Heavenly Father wanted a dog to be the bride of Christ, they could do it. They could make up anything. He could do whatever he wants. But why should we even introduce anything like that? But the point is, the bride has a specific job, and we're chosen to do that job. But everyone who's ever lived and ever will live has an opportunity to live with our Heavenly Father. Does that cover it pretty well?
It sure does. Thank you. to expound a little on what Q just shared with us, sometimes we as human beings, we have people that cross our paths and we think to ourselves, well, this probably would be the best person to become new apostolic. They have such a faith. They would fit right in and they would be awesome. And we extend to these people an invitation and they never come. I will say to you, because Father has chosen us to be the bride of Christ, He created us and designed us specifically for that task. He did not do that for everybody. And as Q pointed out, the bride of Christ has a specific job. Once we get to the kingdom, Father's going to spend 3.5 years with us. We're going to have the wedding feast, right? And we're going to be taught and told things. After that period of time, we're no longer the bride of Christ anymore, because now we're just going to be people who testify about what Father has taught us. And we get to come back here to the earth and discuss with the people whose Father turned his back on. And I will tell you that next month, my plan is to share with you what's going to happen during that 3.5 year, because we need to know that when we get into conversations with people, it's not that we're going to try and scare them into becoming faithful to Father, but I would like us to completely understand Revelations and the fact that here's all the things that are going to take place while the bride of Christ is with Father. This is what's going to happen to these people on earth. And the reason I want to share this with you is to give you the ammo or the ability to have conversations by yourselves when you're with family or other friends to discuss with them, here's what we're going to be up against when Father sends us back to discuss, so that we know what these people were going through, and you and I can have some empathy already. And Father just said, I'm stealing his thunder, because he was going to go over that when we all get there anyway. But I'm going to do this anyway, because he told me I could come and talk to him and go over things with him. And I think it would be fascinating to find out, because years ago we were told that once the bride is taken, an hour later, the angels that are holding back the four winds of the destruction of the earth are swept aside and the earth gets destroyed and 2/3 of it's wiped out. No, it isn't. Days pass. Time passes, and certain plagues hit this earth at different times and just torment the living garbage out of these people. And that's Father's retribution, because they didn't listen to him. And I want to make sure that everybody hears this, understands it. I even wanted to discuss with Father some of the things that are in Revelations, and he and I actually just spoke. The woman clothed with the sun. The church believes, and so does all the theologians in the world, that the woman clothed with the sun is that the woman is Mary and the sun is Jesus, and that when the dragon comes to attack, they're going to be cast out into the wilderness and they're going to be protected. And we believe that these are the faithful new apostolics that didn't get taken on the day of Christ's return, right? So Father said to me, that is not right. He said, they are correct that the woman is Mary. The Son is Jesus, the dragon is Satan, and in that part of the Revelations, which I'm going to share with you next month, he said, what you have to understand is, because we are not bound by time here, he said, John wrote it as though it was a exact timeline and events that would unfold, and that is not the case. He said, that adaptation of what you read about the woman clothed with the sun is actually Jesus being born. Father was the one who protected him during that time. And it is also the account that we've heard of and know of where Satan and his were cast out of heaven and thrown to the earth. That is that portion. And the seals, we think that the seals are going to be opened at a certain time and they're all going to fall in the same place. Some of those seals have already been opened, my dear friends, and we're already living through those time frames. So that's when I said to Father, well, I would like to come and sit with you, and if you'd be so kind to define things for us so that the team understands this and we know how we should speak of these things. Now, we're not going to go broadcasting it through the New Apostolic Church that we know more and this is wrong and they're wrong. That's not the intent of this. The intent is, and this kind of leads to the next point I wanted to make, you and I have to watch what we say and how we say it. And my wife and I had a conversation this past Friday as she was driving back from work. And I, in the past, have gotten fired up and spoken against different religions because it irritates me that these people are being taught wrong. And I would kind of tear into the religion itself And I would speak ill sometimes of the ministers and the way that they were teaching their parishioners and all that stuff. And Father numerous times said to me, you have to understand that the religions around us are probably some of the most misinformed souls. He said, and that's why we have the apostles in our church and we have the guardians now, because it will become our responsibility to teach them what is truth, what is the way to be the bride of Christ, what is the path you have to take. And ultimately, when you and I talk, and we might be in a restaurant, people are listening to us. Don't kid yourself, because when we discuss different things about faith, the soul in these people at some level will be attracted to what we're saying, because that's that little piece of Father. And he wants to draw all of those little pieces back to him. That's why he created us. That's why we have a little piece of him. And they'll listen at different times as to what you and I say. Now, what are we saying? And eternity is always listening to us. Constantly. They're watching us. They're using us as examples. And sometimes during the week, I'll look at Father and go, I want to ask for your forgiveness for being a horrible, horrible example of faith. I'm sorry. I lost my temper. I got upset. I said things that I probably shouldn't. But I'm trying hard not to do those things. I'm bringing this to your attention because as guardians, we must always speak the truth, but we have to do it out of love. We are not here to beat anybody up or to tell them that they're wrong. And even in a recent conversation with some other guardians, I made the comment, when people say to us, I want to become the bride of Christ, we're going to say to them, okay, well, Jesus set up a specific path. And that path is, as he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And the path he laid down was, unless you're reborn out of water and spirit, and you eat of my body and blood, you have no part on me. And what does that mean? That means those sacraments and that power and authority lies only in the New Apostolic Church in this day, because he gave that power and authority to the apostles that serve in this church. If you want to get to the kingdom of heaven in some other way, then you can do as you wish. But if your heart is telling you that you would like to be a part of the bride, then we are telling you this is the only path. I will also tell you that Father said in the future, when half the church leaves and other people find out about what we're doing, he said, you'll be surprised how many people actually want to hear what we have to say, and they will not oppose us, and they will decide to follow the apostolate and the path that Jesus laid down. That, for me, brings a huge smile. We think to ourselves, too, we have people that are going to try to oppose us. Again, we have no fear because we serve our Father. We do what he asks of us. We serve him out of love, and we serve those around us out of love. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. All right, then. Atmos, would you please share with everyone update on your family and the boys?
Oh, sure. I'm currently laying in bed with little Gunner right next to me. Both boys are doing tremendous. We've had a heck of a time getting them their formula figured out and what formula is going to work for them. And we haven't gotten a lot of sleep because of it. They eat and then 10, 15, 20 minutes later, they'd be up again, eating again. So the doctor said, they're most likely overeating. They don't have an off switch for the food. They're the full feeling. So he said, let's start tracking how much we give them and when, and scale it back. And it started to work. We've switched to added rice, and they seem to be sleeping now 2 and 3 hours at a stint. So that's good. Danielle's healing well, doing great. Jeremiah's probably having the toughest time of all of us with it. He's trying to adjust to not having all of mom and dad's attention, which in turn is hard on mom and dad, of course. It pains us when we both have a screaming baby in our arms and he's crying because he just wants to go play or do something with one of us, and we just can't do it. Of course, we do make the time once we have it, but it's it's been tough on him. So we've been trying to keep him busy and keep him included and involved. But other than that, everything seems to be going really well. I go back to work tomorrow. Kind of looking forward to it, but kind of not. It's a bittersweet thing. So I guess that's about it.
Thank you. Aquos, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Aquos held his first service this past Wednesday after being reinstated. I wanted to know how that went, and then maybe we should just ask Helen and Tranquility, because they were probably there. So go ahead, Aquos. You would be.
Actually, they both weren't.
Well, you can make up stuff then. Go for it.
I actually, the first service that I had to hold, it was about an hour and a half north of Toronto, northeast, and it was about an hour from our place. And it was on a Wednesday night, and my dad was there with me, which was really, really nice. We drove up together, and I was sitting in the sacristy, and it was like I was holding my first service all over again. You know, you have the jitters, trying to prepare and soak up anything you can when you're reading the word or studying it, and nothing happened. But when I got up there, I've learned when I go up to the altar, whether I'm assisting or holding, now all I do is when I pray, I close my eyes and I grab myself, and I especially make sure that I have a nice big tube connecting to Father's throne. And once I started, HS took over, and it was a very nice feeling that I missed, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until I was connected like that. On the way up, my dad and I had some really nice conversations, and that really helped prepare me. While we were there, we were listening to church music, and we were talking about the good old days, and the chief apostle Fair and district apostle Wagner showed up in the back of the car, and then my dad proceeded to say that our Father gave us his best. Lord Jesus gave us his best. We deserve to give them our best. And that really humbled me and got me prepared for service. But leading up to service, an interesting experience. I tried to, in the morning, ground myself and connect. And I did it. And every time I would connect to Father's throne, you feel that peace and you get, those goose pimples that go over your down your spine. And I didn't feel it for like 2-3 days. And I decided to pog because it felt like darkness. And when I pogged, I realized that, I wasn't going to the right spot. I was being blocked either by Satan or something not good. And after pogging, it went back to that white light, and then I was able to connect a lot better. But I appreciate all the prayers, and it was nice to be back. A little rusty, but the nice thing was where I held my first service, there's another evangelist that's been on leave for a year and a half, a good friend, and he's on leave for the same reason, going through some tough times. And that was the first time he was in service in almost 8 to 9 months. So it all happens for a reason. So
yes,
thank you.
You're welcome. How's your knee doing?
It doesn't have a heartbeat anymore, so that's a plus. It's just a matter of building up the muscles again. Yesterday I helped my dad move a whole bunch of furniture, getting ready to sell the house. and I'm very pleasantly surprised that I wasn't in agony after. It actually felt pretty good. So thanks for that too. It's just a matter of taking time to, I didn't use the muscle for the muscles for over a year, and now it takes a while to build them back up. But on the up and up.
Good. The last thing I want to discuss. Yeah, go ahead.
Tyland, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just to Akris's point about being kind of blocked to attaching himself to the throne. We all pog ourselves in our space when we before we ground and all our chakras out. And one of the things that I've learned to do over the years is to make sure that when Jesus is in front of me or any of my angels or even Father for that matter, that I pog them to make sure that they are who they are. And I remember telling you this, Triland, and it cracked me up because when I was meditating one time, I went and I pogged Father to make sure it was Father, and he just got this big grin on his face and he said, "I love it when you power of me." And got a good chuckle out of it. And so Aguas, it's one of those things that if you start to make that a daily routine where you pog Jesus and you pog Father and your angels, you're making sure that they are them. And they appreciate that. They always smile when you do that. So.
Nice. No, I was, and you know what? I should be doing that because Helen and I were on vacation in Cuba. I was sick for 2 or 3 days of it, and my team had defected, and I didn't realize it. And that was the reason I was sick the whole time and stuck in my hotel room.
Got it.
So,
miserable.
Learning experience. But before I let you guys go, my lovely wife reminded me that she couldn't go to the service, but she wanted to listen. So I called in on my phone so she could listen. So now that she's shy, she can, but she decided to say that, she can say any comment on anything I screwed up on ever so lovingly.
Oh, no, I was going to say, so yeah, I couldn't make it, but I wanted to still listen because it was his first service back, and I think he did really well, especially in the opening prayer. You could just tell it was just back to what it was before, so I was really proud of him.
Wonderful.
You don't realize how much you miss until you don't have it or it's gone, and when I... You always open with the Trinity, and I almost lost it after that because you realize how powerful that is and how humbling it is that right from that moment, those three words, I was alone in the sacristy again, but you're not alone. And after those three words, you have three more with you. And I've been able to realize and see stuff stepping back that I really took for granted before. And it almost just, you almost assumed it. And it was very humbling, very, very nice.
Good. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add to anything? Okay. Our next team meeting is Sunday, May 19th. It would be 2 weeks after Cinco de Mayo and 1 week after Mother's Day. So make sure you got that on your calendar. I asked Starlight if she would please pray. So, Starlight.
Dear Father, thank you for allowing us to have this time with you and with the team and allow us to all be connected. It's always a wonderful experience. Father, be with us as we continue down our path that you've laid out for us and give us the strength and provide everything that we'll need. We've had so many wonderful blessings happen to us as of recent, and there's so many hardships that a lot of us still have. Please provide us the strength that we need and the peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Father, we're thankful again. We want to just take a bow now and tie up this entire evening for all of us, because there is a joy, there is a peace, there's laughter, and there's a deeper understanding of certain things, Father, that you have brought to our attention. You are always so kind. You take the time to spend with us, to share with us different things, and then you fill our hearts and our souls with things that we can't even describe, and the feelings that we have, and you bind our hearts together, all the spouses too, and even Fred and Kathy, that we appreciate everyone, Father, who plays a role in this task that you've given us, because we would not be able to do it by ourselves. So provide your blessing now. See the concerns that rest on our friends' hearts. Provide for them and their families what they need. You know what's best. And as we go through this week, Father, constantly remind us of who we are and what our task is, and that we'll be ready when the day comes that you want us to step in to help. We will be ready. Thank you for all you do. If we've forgotten something, I know you'll cover it. And according to your will, we ask, and in your name we bow. We love you so much, Father. Thank you. Amen.
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 Love you guys so much. Have a great week.
Love you too.
You too. Love you guys.
So long.
All right. Bye.
Take care.